Blog Talk Radio.
I know that this is my spiritual act of worship. And I don't
don't want to be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but let me be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Then I'll be able to test and approve what your will for my life is.
Everyone, and welcome to your place. I'm Starla, and tonight we're going to be sharing with you Wisdom of God's People, Your Place Style. You all know Wild Bill can get a burning thought in his brain and can't get it out. Sometimes this is a good thing, and other times we've considered calling the men in white coats with butterfly nets. We had a show on wisdom not long ago that Blog Talk Mom and Starlet that I did, and since that time, Wild Bill has had another one of those nagging perceptions that has just about driven most of his friends up the wall. Tonight, we're going to get the first part of this, and I'm afraid there will be many future shows regarding having wisdom when it comes to how we live. Tonight, you're going to get a lot of scripture text, so I recommend that you take notes. The focus on these shows is to make sure that we have not taken the Word of God and made it common to the point of our lifestyles no longer pleasing to God. As you know, Bill has a different work schedule, so we're trying to use some new technology that will limit some of his response from Wild Bill. I think I just heard a large applause from all over the world, without the use of my soundboard. Well, that's not really true, because we really miss Wild Bill when he's not here. But through a little technology, we'll get to hear from him tonight. And we'll be hearing from him.
Hello, everybody. Right about... I'd like to thank you for being with us on the show tonight. I want to thank Starla and Blog Talk Mom for keeping things going the last few weeks. We're going to try to use a little bit more as far as technical assistance to try to make me part of the show. Due to changing my work schedules, made things a little complicated there. Last week we had some technical problems, and you know, when you think about it, when you realize that we have listeners in Iraq and Afghanistan, and that we have listeners all over the United States. The host of the show was working out of Tennessee, and the speaker of the show was working in Mississippi. And, you know, it just blows my mind that we don't have more technical difficulties than we do. I don't know how many times that I've tried to leave the house talking to my wife on a cell phone, going to the store about 5 minutes away, and drop a call just going from here to there. So with this much technical aspect to what we do, it's just a blessing from God that we have this avenue that we can use to go out there and try to talk about things in the world in a practical sense, but also to try to look at it from a Christian viewpoint, because in case you hadn't noticed, unless you're having something to do with church, we have less and less things that we can look at to put a slant on things in this world to look at it as a Christian. And it's just part of the time that we live in. I want to thank those that are faithful to listen to our show. I pray that you share this with more and more of your friends. Without you, this show wouldn't exist. As always, we're keeping the show open for people that if you have a minister, teacher, or something like that that you feel like has a topic that we would like to have discussed on the show, we're welcome. It doesn't even have to be someone of spiritual orientation, because we need to keep our minds open to understand what we're dealing with in this world. Otherwise, how can you be a witness if you don't, if you can't speak the language of the people you're trying to witness to? So we always want to keep the door open for things as long as people can be respectful, monitor their own language, and, you know, can, you know, share their point. And that's pretty much all, you know, all we're asking anyone to do. We're going to tonight have a ton of scriptures. There was a show that we did a few weeks back with Blog Talk Mom. It had to do with wisdom. And there's been so many different avenues and so many different aspects of that show that just will not quit just churning over and over in my mind. And so maybe for the next few weeks, if I can get this to work out and this recording process works, we're going to be bringing some of that to you. I've given Starla a list of scriptures to share with us, and so we're going to pause right now and mute ourselves and let Starla share those scriptures with you. So, Starla, it's all yours.
Well, that was awesome. I'm really impressed. I'm really impressed that it worked. But God is good, and He is faithful. And we do have a lot of scripture tonight to give us a foundation. We want to use wisdom in our relationship with God, how we live with our fellow man, and how we are perfected so that we can be saved from a devil's hell. I recommend that you take notes on this as we go through this. We're going to start in the Old Testament with Isaiah. Isaiah 2 and 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end to their chariots. Their land is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humble himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust, for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the rocks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth, for the fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. See, she man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? And we'll go to James and read James 5:1. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat of your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. And the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heavens, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if we have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now we're going to 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, and both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words that were spoken before the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, there is the promise, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as do they also the scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away in the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Now we'll turn to Timothy. 2 Timothy 3 and 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away by diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. And now, through the power of technology, if everything works here, is your host, Wild Bill.
Wow. Thank you, Starla, for reading those scriptures. I tell you, you know, we have an advantage of having God's Word in this day and time that we live in. When we were looking to put this together, you know, in most situations you go back to the beginning, which is sort of a history lesson, so to speak. But I felt like tonight that in going through the topic of wisdom, that it would be more prudent to go to where we live right now. And so that's why I had started to read those scriptures. We can all just take a moment and just really think about what God's Word said. Think about, you know, the last 2,000 years and the things that we know of history. And we've talked many times about perception and knowledge, and now we've added wisdom. And you can look these words up yourself and you can see that how closely they are intertwined. But I'm telling you, folks, if we can just stop for a moment and go through those scriptures, and Starla, you did such a wonderful job of sharing those with us. I just really appreciate what you add to the show and bringing that to us. But to stop and realize where we are. And then when you stop and realize where we are, then maybe we can get a little bit of an urgency in realizing who we are supposed to be and where we are. And just, of course, a lot of people make fun of me for referring to Michael Jackson, but he had that song, Man in the Mirror. And if there was ever a time that God's people needed to put themselves as the man in the mirror, it is today. And I tell you, I've been so blessed in my life, some of the lessons and things that I have seen, the things I have knowledge of. But even with that, the last few weeks have realized that I based a lot of things on people, what they tell me, and based on things that I'm taught, and based on things that I read. But there's not as much as there should be of basing of things of personal experience. And what I'm talking about, have you ever been in a room full of people and had someone talking about you in reference to trying to even figure out your thoughts on something while you were there? It's a really strange feeling to be in a group of people being talked about and people sitting there trying to use their knowledge and their perceptions to think how you would answer to something or respond to something when you're there. And I thought, wow, how many times have we as people of faith done this with God? He makes it very clear. He's right there. He's always there. He never sleeps. He's watching over his word to perform it in the lives of his people. And yet we talk to each other, we have suppositions that we share, we have theories, we get off in all this isms and schisms of things of God. But how much time do we really take to talk to God? How much time do we really turn to him and say, Lord, what did you mean on this? Have you ever thought about that? And you get to going from there and you think, wow, and am I, the things that I have seen where certain words meant something of power years ago in my life. And I look now and those same words are being used to apply to things that they don't mean the same thing anymore. And I'm reminded of how you can take a copy and you can make a copy of a copy. And after a while, it's not the same picture anymore. And how in this world, how if you wind a watch over and over, it's funny, everything now is digital, but years ago you had to wind a watch, and I'm not talking about pocket watches even, you know, the first watches, wrist watches, you used to have to wind them every day. And after you'd wind it so much, that spring would be stretched, and it got to where it was losing time. It wasn't quite in sync to what it meant to be. And I have this feeling, and you have to bear with me because I'm not throwing stones at anyone. But what I'm doing is I'm looking at my life and I'm sharing these things open to you. And if anyone is in the same situation, maybe this will help you. For those of you that can't understand why sometimes you're being wayward when it comes to the things of God, how you can be so up one day and down the next, I think you're going to find some answers here as we're looking at the things of God and looking at it and trying to find wisdom for our lives. Because it's all in his book. It's all real clear of what we need to do. But so many times we get into so much into biblical theory and the theology of God that we don't show how to apply it to real life. I've seen this in Sunday school classes, and I've seen it in sermons and things, to where we sort of talk about the theory and we talked about the philosophy and we talk about the principles of God, but we sort of get away from the basics of his word. And so this is just the beginning tonight and sort of a test to go into those things. But if you really want to look at where we live today, just look at the last couple of weeks. Here we had a company called Chick-fil-A. Every one of us has probably been there and eaten at their place before. We've noticed that they, you know, refuse to work on Sundays because the owner is a man of faith. And recently there were some things, and I don't have all the details, and I've not taken the time to look into it, but where he has refused to hire people that are homosexual to work in his places of business because he believes what God's word says about that. And in doing so, cities have stood up against him and said, you will not put a Chick-fil-A in our city if this is what you're going to do, if you're going to discriminate against these people. And so he has stood firm. They had a day to where people of faith could come and support Chick-fil-A. It was on Wednesday, and they had the largest sales day they've ever had in their history of people showing support for Chick-fil-A. And anyway, to the next day, and I don't really understand this, but there is a national day of kissing or something like that that has to do with the people that are homosexuals. And so they decided here in our area to take advantage of their national day as in protest to Chick-fil-A, to come to the stores and make out, basically, at Chick-fil-A's. And one of the things that just blows me away, and many of you know I was in law enforcement for 13 years, and as I got to read some of the descriptions of what some of these people were doing at these restaurants, I can tell you for a fact that if a man and a woman had been doing these things, it wouldn't matter if they were husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend or what, there would have been citations issued and people would have went to jail if they would have not ceased to do what these people were doing. That's the difference in the day and time we live in. So when you take that to stock, it goes on to make it very clear that things have changed from the way things used to be just in my lifetime. And to kind of go into another part of this, looking at wisdom, I had a preacher I heard. He stood up and he was talking about what was going to happen on Wednesday, and he, you know, said it would be a good thing if we could show support. But then he went on to say that the owner of the company had died of a heart attack. Now, this is a man who preaches the gospel like it's nobody's business. I mean, he gets into the word. He is emotional. He holds your attention. He doesn't just surface preach on the things as what makes you feel good with God's word. He really rips it up and tears it up. And so I'm just reminded again how sometimes we can get on the internet and we can read things, and people have a way of twisting things. They can modify pictures. It's amazing what people can do. And you repeat things thinking that it's true, and in truth it's not true. And so it tears down our credibility when we do that. Now, I know that this was a mistake from this person. I saw the resource material where he was reading these things from the internet. And a man that is one of the top executives at Chick-fil-A did have a massive coronary, and he did pass away. So there was some truth to this, but it wasn't the same story as if this man made a stand, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's being attacked from these cities, and then he died of a massive heart attack, which some people would say, oh, man, that's awful. But if you really believe what we say we believe, it would have really been graduation day for him. And so that's some of the things we're going to be looking at here over the next few weeks as we look at wisdom. We're going to be looking at trying to take some practicality to God's Word. And in most things in life, like I say, you know, we start at the, you know, beginning, the history of. And I started to do the same thing here. But we have the chance here to start at where we are now and look back and get reference from things of history to apply to our lives. Not just history in the Bible, but things that we've actually witnessed in our own lives. As I do this, I've shared some of these things with people and have found that people have found it hurtful. And they felt like I was attacking people. Like, well, who are you directing this to? And what are you aiming at? And I want to tell everyone right now, well, it's funny. The first thing that came to my mind was I had a preacher that, a pastor that used to say, you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, and when you hit is the one that hollers. But I want to make it clear we're not throwing any rocks here. I'm taking things from my life, my personal experience, things that I have been involved with, been taught, witnessed, seen, and I'm taking those and trying to put it with God's Word to apply here that of practicality to what's going on. So for those of you that feel like I may be trying to throw rocks at you, I ask that you to stop for a minute, put yourself in front of the mirror. Understand that we're dealing with things from my perception. Some of these were going back when I was 15, 16, 17 years old, so my perception could be skewed just a little bit. But in saying that, let's try to look at the big picture here. And what is the big picture? None of us want to be lost. As my dad used to say, and he was a person that saw things very much in black and white, he used to always come out and say, you know, when the flames hit your butt, that's when everything else doesn't matter anymore. That's where you're going to realize where the rubber hits the road. And so with that said, we're going to open up the show for anyone who has any comments or any suggestions or questions. And I may not be back with you after that point. Hopefully I can interject, but we're trying something different here. But I just pray that God gets us all on the same page to understand that I'm not trying to attack anyone. What I'm trying to do is to just get people to look at their lives from things from my life. And this may be for no one but me, but I really feel that this is going to be a blessing to other people also. So I'm going to turn it back over to Starla there at the studio, and I pray that God bless each and every one of you.
Well, that was nothing short of amazing. It was good to get to hear from Wild Bill. And now we're going to hear from Blog Talk Mom. How are you, Blog Talk Mom?
I'm just doing wonderful, and you're just...
Wasn't that neat?
It was. It just sounded like he was just right there with you, and you did a fantastic job of reading a lot of scripture. And
well, thank you. That was a lot.
That's very, very good, as you were reading through them, and as Wild Bill was commenting, and I have talked with him several times in the last few weeks, and I really understand where he's coming from better and better, because it's sort of like iron sharpeneth iron. If we will be just real open and discuss things, we can come to some conclusions, especially the way you've read the Word of God. If we keep the Word of God as our pattern and go back to it, of course, there's a lot to that. I know many times that when we think of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we are aware of sodomy and the types of sins that were in Sodom and Gomorrah, but the Bible actually said that in Ezekiel 16:49, said, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. And it mentions pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness within her and her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. So you see people that had become so selfish and so self-absorbed that they couldn't reach out to anyone else. And when anybody does that, we become just totally wanting to entertain ourselves and please ourselves, pamper ourselves. It's all about us instead of reaching out and sharing and giving to other people. So there's a lot of ways that we can, I think, point out certain sins that seem to be more of an abomination. We just think, well, now that's just, and I heard what Wild Bill was saying, that it's gravitating so that things that, like when, I'll share this with you. I went to Walmart and I got this little DVD. It says The Decade You Were Born, and it's 1940, and then it tells the next 10 years. Did you know I was born before? Before we had radio, television. Yeah, I mean, I'm old. I just didn't have any. I knew I was old, but that's really something. And how each thing that was invented and became part of our the media intake and our world, it all became something about money, about entertainment, and the programs would entertain, but they were always to sell something. You know, they'd have sponsors that wanted to sell the American public on something. And it sort of gets really sad and corrupted very quickly. And so I, this week, have read two things that I would share that people might want to read. There's a book called Hell's Best Kept Secret. If people go to YouTube, Kirk Cameron actually reads it or tells it in a beautiful way on YouTube. If you want to read it, you can get the book by Ray Comfort. And then also it led to another 2.5-hour documentary on 2012, Time for Hell. And I would recommend anybody that just wants some information, not necessarily to prove any particular points, but if you want some good insight and information, I would recommend those to just take it in and weigh it. Don't take it over the scripture. Don't take it over your own feelings. But just, I think that it's a time that we must be aware of everything that's going on and be willing to go to the Word of God and allow, like Wild Bill was saying, allow the Word of God to do its work in us. And I was sharing with him today, we used to sing a song, there's a hole, there's a hole, there's a hole in the bottom of the sea. There's a log and a hole in the bottom of the sea. There's a knot on a log and a hole in the bottom of the sea. There's a frog and a hare on the water. You know, I don't remember exactly how it goes, but it goes from one thing to another. And I heard a minister preach, and we can say, you know, I want to change the whole world. Well, it begins with me. If I change me, I allow God to change me and align me with the Word of God each day, every day. If I seek His face and I'm willing to let Him chastise me, change me, then I will have an effect on someone else. And someone else, it can eventually be in the church, it can be in the community, it can be in the county, it can be in the state, it can be in the nation. And then you affect the world. But we can make the picture so big that we don't really have a part in it. We're going to think, well, that's just too big. I can't do that. That's overwhelming, whatever. And then we fail to do that part that we can do. So I appreciate this broadcast. I hope there's been others that are listening that would have something they would want to share.
Well, we don't have anybody with their hand up.
Okay. I called several people, and hopefully we may just start.
Oh. Take that back. I believe we have Sister Kaiser.
Okay.
Sister Kaiser.
All right. How's everybody doing?
Wonderful.
Hello.
You're on the
air. We're doing great. How are you?
Oh, doing fairly well. I just thought Sister your mother-in-law wants to see people to call in and say something. Well, she and Wild Bill has said it all. They covered every base. But, you know, what he was talking about those Chick-fil-A places, it's a shame, though, when people want to counteract that with something so diabolically against the Word of God. Of course, we are not a Christian nation anymore, and that's a shame as well. People gave their lives, and Jesus Christ shed his blood and gave his life that we all may have this experience. And it's just a sad day and a sad commentary that we're facing. But there's still a God that cares, and there are still people that are believing the message. And Sister Lavi, you did a wonderful job just a few moments ago. I've had that book for Ray Comfort for years. It's always packed up in storage, but good things. And they are to instruct us and to warn us and to encourage us to remember the times and the seasons that we as Christians really are facing. And I thought you were going to finish your little diatribe about the water in the hole and the crack and the sea and the sea and the whatever, and the hair on the wart and the wart on the, I don't know. But, you know, sometimes we may feel like that sometimes, that everything's stacked on top of us. But I'm thankful because God's grace and mercy is still rich to those who receive it and welcome it in their life. And I just wanted to say hello to everybody.
I don't want to jump in front of Sister Starla, but I appreciate you calling. I know that you're in revival right now, and I appreciate you calling and helping us out tonight.
Well, I didn't feel like I had much help, but I got a call again tonight. I'm going to another part of Illinois on Saturday and start a meeting there. So praise God for that.
That's great. I had heard two or three things today that I thought were neat that would probably fit in tonight. Talking about trust, Wild Bill had talked to us a lot about trusting God and just what do we really mean by trusting God. Is it a phrase that we use that doesn't really mean anything, or are we truly trusted in God? And Emily had called me and reminded me of a little story that my mother used to tell about this man that was going to use a parachute. And it was his first time, and the man told him, he said, now this is how you use it. You pull this string, and then, you know, when you jump in, the big parachute will come out. But there's if in case that it does not, then there's another one. It's like a safety string that you pull, and then that will open up. But if it doesn't, there will be, you know, an ambulance. There will be somebody on the ground there waiting on you. This is horrible. But anyway, he jumps out of the plane, and he pulls the big string, and the parachute didn't open. And so, you know, he feels around, and he gets the other one, and he pulls it, and it doesn't open either. And he says, it probably won't even be an ambulance down there when I get there either. You know, he's just been so disappointed. And, you know, my point is, and the point in the story is, that we go through life, and we think, oh, this is going to be great. You know, boy, this is, you know, it's going to be just like the storybook. So, and then it doesn't happen. And then you turn around, and then somebody teaches you another concept, and your expectations are dashed to the ground. And then people have no hope. They just give up. And it's foolish as that little story is to think because we've gone our own way and we've tried it our own way in a way that maybe our nation or our church or whatever, but there will always be the Word of God that will not ever fail us. It will never, ever fail us. God told us that he would give us an armor, the armor of God in Ephesians 6. But that's not just something that's a cute little story that we tell children or that we color in a coloring book. It is a real warfare that we're in, and that's real armor that we put on by faith, we put on by prayer, by submission, especially by submission. And when we pray, it's with supplication, like whatever God is trying to teach me,
I want to be willing. And I, and if that always hurts. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but when I'm in the middle of the Lord teaching me or there's chastisement, it's not pleasant. But it yields the fruit of righteousness and love and joy and peace, because that's how God does it. And so it's a process, as we've talked about so many, many times. And so God gives us an opportunity, as they say, to put your money where your mouth is, and that's not always easy. It's easy to say something, say we trust, or say we're going to do certain things in the kingdom of God, but then we'll have that opportunity, and we'll find if we're walking in faith or walking in our own flesh and our own desires or whatever. I think it was Brother Leonard Ravenhill said that we must know our enemy. You and I, we're not enemies with each other. The devil is our enemy. Lucifer, Satan, is our enemy. And God plainly said, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. So we've got to know who our enemy is and battle with him with the blood of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the love of God. And God's going to give us the battle to fight, and we are to fight it. And there's a race, and we got to run that race. And then he talks about stewardship. We're going to give account, each one of us, for what talents, what abilities that God has given us. And that's very, very serious. And it's a daily commitment with the Lord. Don't y'all agree?
Yes, I do. Blog Talk Mom, we have a special guest.
All right.
Wild Bill.
Well, about being a special guest, and I'm up here in the hills in the Alabama-Tennessee line, so I'm not sure. I got kind of tickled that you sharing Granny's story. There's actually a second part of that, and the guy, he actually was at heaven, and he's like, I don't understand. I pulled both cords, and didn't anything happen, and so they showed him what he actually did, and he had grabbed a backpack that had a man's laundry in it. So, there was no parachute. He had grabbed the wrong thing. And so in looking at that aspect of it and looking at God's Word, sometimes we take the parts of God's Word that we want to use, and it's kind of like being at a Chinese restaurant. We'll take one from column A and two from column B, but God is very much precise in what he's laid out as what he will do, but he's also just as precise in what he expects from those that are called to be like him. We talk about being a Christian, that is to be Christ-like. And I'm looking at my life, and I'm seeing I'm falling so far short of walking a life like Christ did in this world. And I know we strive for the mark and everything, but I think sometimes we put our efforts on the wrong end of things. And it's like flying an airplane. So many people will go into a fog bank and they won't trust their instrument. And I had someone tell me, when you're sitting in the pilot seat, you have no feel for what direction, whether you're going up, down, banking, or whatever. You have to use your instrument to tell where you're going. And it's like the Kennedy boy. He thought that he was pulling the plane up, and instead put it into a full dive and crashed into the ocean. And how many times God has given us his Spirit. And so we don't have to trust on our own devices. We don't have to lean on our own understanding of his Word. But when we lean upon the power of the Holy Ghost that's been given to us freely as a gift, to make it so that we could be more than overcomers, when we realize that it's not up to us to have to do these things, that God's given us the power to do what he's asked us to do, and he's given us, he promised he's not going to give us more than what we can handle, but he never wanted to leave us where he found us. And we accept that when it comes from turning from sin to turning to God with salvation. But that's just the beginning of the process. It's that thing where you have love one for another and love your neighbors yourself. Those are some big words. And I can tell you, I'm not there yet. So I know that to get there means there's got to be some more process that's got to happen in my life. But we have to, like the song at the beginning, we have to surrender all. We we can't hang on to a little bit. We can't say, this is mine. I'm going to do this part here, Lord. I'm going to help you out. He didn't tell us to do those things. We need to surrender all to him. And I want to thank you for your comments, your Blog Talk Mom, and I wasn't trying to steal your thunder with Granny's joke, but I thought that was so funny that because there's points on all these things, and we have a tendency, we can make a lot of points on things of God's Word. We get certain things like the scripture, "Lo, I'll be with you always," so, you know, well, I'm not going to get no airplane because God's only with me when I'm low. And you know, it's the same thing with everything in life. We want to take the part that's comfortable to us, but God don't want us to be comfortable. And whether we like it or not, there's some giants in the land, and they're evil, and they're mean, and they want people to go to a devil's hell, and they want everyone to be lost. They want to destroy people. They want to destroy families. They want to destroy churches. They want to kill. They want to maim. And God says, okay, I'm looking for someone to stand in the gap. I'm looking for another David that says, I'm going to stand. I'm not going to falter. I'm not going to look back. I'm not going to say no to God's word. I'm not going to be astounded when he does what he said that he was going to do. I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm going to stand on God's promises. I'm going to stand that even if I die today, that I know that I have won because that's what God has promised me. So anyway, I appreciate you guys, you know, being on the show. And, Charlotte, I'm going to turn it back to you guys. I'm kind of getting some heels up here. I'm afraid I'm maybe breaking up a little bit. But church is time. Satan is standing. He's not just standing. He's running. He's taking the battle to us. And it's time we say, okay, we're going to take the battle to him. And God's going to give us that power. He's calling out a group of people that's going to stand. And I want to be part of that group.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Charlotte, there's several things that I've read this week about standing. Above all, I think it says, finally, my brethren, in Ephesians 6, or if you read the whole chapter there, it says about standing. And standing is not just standing. It means like a soldier that would be standing ready with everything in place. He wouldn't be standing out there not prepared. He would be totally prepared. And in each part of the armor of God, from the helmet of salvation that protects our mind, that helmet that we have prayed and allow God to give us, create in us. And we heard a sermon the other day about renewing, like David said, prayed, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit, renew, regroup, remake, you know, just be in that place that God can constantly be molding us and making us and correcting us and aligning us with the Word of God. I heard a real neat story. It was it's about the Chinese bamboo, and it actually, there's a video on AISH.com about it. But in a nutshell, it says that when you people get so discouraged because they're not growing, and you know, years passed, and I know in my early life as a Christian, it seemed like I just, you know, I take two steps forward and three steps backwards. But there was that time that it began, there was a root system began to form. And it said in the Chinese bamboo that they plant it and a year passes and it doesn't grow. And then years pass, and three, then four, then 5 years, it doesn't grow. And then immediately, in 6 weeks, it gets 90 feet high. So someone would say, how long did it take to grow? You'd say, 6 weeks. No. It took 5 years and 6 weeks, because for 5 years it grew a root system so that when it grew up 90 feet, it would not fall over. And sometimes we are fighting things, and we fight them and fight them and fight them in our flesh and our habits, and we struggle and we struggle, but we're building a root system by not giving up. We get into the Word of God, faithful to His presence, faithful to His move, you know, the move of God upon our life, and then as the storms get greater, we can stand because God has built that root system, and we've been in agreement with Him on that. That's one of the most encouraging stories I believe I've ever heard, And I thank you very much, Darla. It's been a great program.
Well, I appreciate you speaking. We really enjoyed it. We enjoyed Wild Bill being on tonight, too.
Amen.
Technology and, you know, live. But it was really great.
And we'll have to get you to, we like to listen to the Bible on tape. We're going to let you read the Bible. You're good.
I don't think I could last reading the whole Bible. That was a stretch tonight. But
very
I do
good.
Enjoy
very,
reading
very
God's
good.
Word.
It was excellent. Well, thank you very much.
You.
God bless you. Talk to you later.
God bless you. And we're going to say good night.